This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Nations are emerging from lockdown, but some governments warn economic pain won't be easy to erase. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Australia's Prime Minister said today his country's economic recovery from COVID-19 will take up to 5 years. And as it faces the first recession in 3 decades, the nation is grappling with a debt burden expected to exceed 30% of the size of the economy. Meanwhile, Singapore today said it has also revised growth targets again. It now sees an economic contraction this year of as much as 7%. That would be its worst since independence in 1965. The BBC's Karishma Vaswani explains that to combat the slowdown, the city-state has allocated more funding to help shore up jobs and wages.
The focus of Singapore's fourth coronavirus budget is on saving jobs and helping to transform businesses to be viable for a post-COVID world. Named the Fortitude Budget, the $23 billion spending plan pushes total government spending on shoring up the economy to around $70 billion. This round will be spent on subsidizing wages for small and medium-sized enterprises and loans for companies. Whilst announcing the budget, Singapore's Finance Minister Heng Swee Keat said Singapore is dealing with unprecedented uncertainty. Some of the workers will lose jobs, other jobs won't come back, he said, and some jobs will look different. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Karishma Vaswani for Marketplace.
Spain is also making moves to help its most vulnerable members of society deal with the mounting financial costs of the coronavirus crisis. The government is set to approve legislation for a guaranteed basic income, as the BBC's Guy Hedgecoe explains.
Spain has had an enormous problem with inequality and poverty since the Eurozone crisis of a decade ago. And the idea behind this measure is to help people who are in extreme poverty, in particular people like people who are already working but they have very precarious jobs and their wages are extremely low, or people who can't find jobs.
This program is being called a universal basic income, but it isn't actually universal, is it?
No, it's not. It's not going out to all Spaniards. At the beginning, it's being distributed to around 100,000 homes. People will be means tested to show that they are earning, for example, less than around 450 euros a month in terms of their household income.
As we've been hearing today from countries around the world, the economic pain that COVID-19 has caused will likely be around for a while. So this program will cost a lot for the Spanish government anyway, nearly $4 billion a year. How will the government finance it?
Yes, I mean, this is a proposal that was being talked about even before the coronavirus crisis. It feels that between 3 and 4 billion euros per year is a relatively small amount if it's going to be helping these people lift them out of poverty. Now, of course, a lot will depend on how the Spanish economy performs over the coming months, and the outlook is not good at all. And there is a feeling that the country is going to have to get into debt to quite a large extent. So it may be that that debt will be what helps pay for initiatives like this one.
This program was supposed to be passed today, but the timing is a bit uncertain at the moment, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Having spoken to the government, they said that, yes, they did want to approve it today, but that looks unlikely, or it is possible, but they're saying it is going to be approved by the cabinet some point this week. They're sure of that. And then the idea is that it's rolled out as a policy in June.
The BBC's Guy Hedgecoe in Madrid. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much. It's a pleasure.
To further kickstart the economy, the Spanish government said today that starting July 1st, it will allow tourism to resume without mandatory quarantines. That's boosting the country's benchmark by about 1.3% and sending global travel and leisure stocks higher. Meanwhile, European and Asia shares are seeing a broad rally. The Shanghai Composite Index closed up 1% after China's central bank said it plans to introduce more stimulus measures. And U.S. futures are pointing to a higher open on Wall Street today. Some traders will resume their work on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. To Zimbabwe now, where more than 500 million pounds of tobacco are expected to be sold this season. The country is Africa's largest tobacco-producing region, but it's battling drought, food shortages, and now the impact coronavirus is having on some of its biggest export markets. The BBC's Shingai Noka has more from Harare.
At last, the most important event on Zimbabwe's agricultural calendar is underway. It's a month late. Buyers trail behind the auctioneer, signaling their bids. The agriculture minister, Perence Shiri, looks on.
When we have less rains, you tend to have a very good tobacco crop.
His government had banked on an agricultural revival driven by tobacco. It's the second largest foreign currency earner after gold, and Asia and Europe are the biggest consumers. With these regions severely affected by COVID-19, there's concern about the season's sales.
Most countries have now directed their resources towards dealing with the coronavirus menace, but it can also be seen as an opportunity. It's too early to say really how it's going to affect us.
In Macheke, a farming region in eastern Zimbabwe, I met the Mazangwa family inside their small red brick curing barn. Tobacco, once it is picked, needs to be cured before it's taken to the market. COVID-19-inspired regulations and now remote selling are prompting new fears and Douglas Mazangwa's lingering questions about the global demand.
Because there is this COVID, they are also disturbed today. They might buy less tobacco from us, but I don't know how far to risk that now.
Tobacco has sustained this country for generations. In the 20 years since the takeover of white-owned farms, black small-scale farmers now dominate the market. China and Europe's economies are slowly reopening. As he separates his tobacco leaves into different grades, Mr. Mazangwa tells me he remains hopeful. But his survival, like that of so many others here, will hinge on the consumer demand in those distant lands.
Shingai Nyoka reporting there. Finally, Stanley Ho, the Hong Kong businessman named the King of Gambling, has died at age 98. For decades, he ran a casino empire in Macau, a city that's now become the world's gambling capital. His multi-billion dollar fortune will be divided between his fourth wife and 16 children, who he warned against the pitfalls of betting, despite having made his fortune through gambling. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.